Yeah, this goes out. Man, you know who you are. Let's go. Check it. Ooh, baby, love the joys, are you driving me crazy? These are got my dad, keeping it joy.
Και να σβήσω τους φόβους σου όλους να μη δενήσω. Να το ζήσω. Τι είναι σίγουρο δεν το γνωρίζω, αλλά γνωρίζω πως η καρδιά μου λέει να συνεχίσω. Κι αν σ' αρέσω λίγο φίλα με, μη σταματάς. Κλείνω τα μάτια και πηγαίνω που με πας.
Τίποτα δεν θα πρέπει να θες. Οι ζωές μας διαφορετικές.
κράτα με και πάω όπου με πας.
Και τι ζητάω, εσένα αγκαλιά να κρατάω και πάω
όπου με πας.
Και τι ζητάω, στα μάτια να κοιτάς όταν φυλάω και πάω
όπου με πας.
Και το ρισκάρω, πανιά ανοίγω, μας εσούς αλπάρω και πάω
όπου με πας.
Και τι ζητάω, στα μάτια να κοιτάς όταν φυλάω και πάω.
Τίποτα δεν θα πρέπει να θες. Οι ζωές μας διαφορετικές. Όμως όταν με κοιτάς πάω όπου με πας. Τίποτα δεν φαίνεται σωστό. Όμως την καρδιά μου ακολουθώ. Φίλα με μη σταματάς. Πάω όπου με πας. Τίποτα δεν θα πρέπει να θες. Οι ζωές μας διαφορετικές. Όμως όταν με κοιτάς πάω όπου με πας. Σωστό, όμως την καρδιά μου ακολουθώ. Φίλα με μη σταματάς. Πάω όπου με πας.
Presencia no me incomoda. Puedo mirar tu cuerpo sin desearte. Para olvidarte tuve un ayudante. Hoy eres algo pasado de moda. El tiempo fue borrando tu recuerdo. Ya nada queda de ese amor intenso. Quiero decirte que esta sonrisa es porque alguien ya llegó a mi vida y me sanó con besos tu desprecio. Me gustabas, pero ya sanó el deseo. Descubrí que si no estás, yo no me muero. Agradezco tu traición, pero este corazón, aunque tanto te lloró, siguió latiendo. Pero ya pasó tu tiempo. Nuestra historia terminó y no hay regreso. Nada ganas con llorar. Ella sí me sabe amar. Me gustabas, pero para ser sincero, ya no te quiero.
Sea levels due to climate change were posing a threat to New York City. It's my favorite place on Earth and I love it so much, Barrett says. The fact that we're right in the front lines of disaster due to sea level rise and the idea that this city somehow won't be the same because of human actions taken that could be prevented means a lot to me. It motivates me to fight more. She also says she believes that she and those standing with her represent the voice of their whole generation. The climate disaster is going to impact people in the future much more heavily than it already is now. This is an outlet for us to be able to make a big impact without needing the ability to vote, she says. Now, of course, the government under President Obama tried to get the case dismissed. Business Insider Australia reports the legal team claimed that the case presented political questions that couldn't be adjudicated by a federal court, that the kids lacked sufficient standing to sue, and that a ruling could not ensure the plaintiff's claim would be redressed, since there are so many contributors to global warming. Also at issue is a concept called the public trust doctrine, which suggests that the government has a duty to protect certain natural resources from damage for the future beneficiaries of them. The defendants alleged that the federal government doesn't have public trust obligations the way states do, and that the atmosphere is not a public trust asset. However, on November 10th last year, a federal judge in Eugene, Oregon, rejected all of these arguments. Judge Ann Aiken said in her decision that just because the legal and political implications of the case are unprecedented doesn't mean it should be dismissed. This action is of a different order than the typical environmental case, her decision reads. It alleges that defendants' actions and inactions, whether or not they violate any specific statutory duty, have so profoundly damaged our home planet that they threaten plaintiffs' fundamental constitutional rights to life and liberty. And that means that the case will proceed. However, it will be tried not against an Obama administration, but a Donald Trump administration. Business Insider Australia points out that in the past, Donald Trump totally denied climate change in tweets such as, "The concept of global warming was created by and for the Chinese in order to make U.S. manufacturing non-competitive." Trump also promised to cancel the Paris Agreement, setting targets to reverse the worst effects of global warming, signed by nearly 200 countries last December. Because of this, Business Insider of Australia says some environmentalists are pointing to the kids case and the power of the judicial branch in general as a kind of last hope for the planet. Actually, the Obama administration, perhaps to undermine an adversarial stance the Trump administration might take, have set the scene for the kids to win by admitting many of the facts underpinning their case. The administration admitted that the use of fossil fuels is a major source of CO2 emissions. And I quote, "placing our nation on an increasingly costly, insecure, and environmentally dangerous path." It also admitted that for over 50 years, officials of the federal government have been aware of a growing body of scientific research concerning the effects of fossil fuel emissions on atmospheric concentrations of CO2. These include, and I quote, "that increased concentrations of atmospheric CO2 could cause measurable long-lasting changes to the global climate, resulting in an array of severe deleterious effects to human beings, which will worsen over time." The administration also admitted, and I quote, "that from 1850 to 2012, CO2 emissions from sources within the United States, including from land use, comprised more than 25% of cumulative global CO2 emissions." They also admitted that the government, and I quote, "permits, authorizes, and subsidizes fossil fuel extraction, development, consumption, and exportation." They admit such activities produce CO2 emissions and say that past CO2 emissions from such activities have increased the atmospheric concentration of CO2. Further, the defendants concede that current CO2, methane, and nitrous oxide levels are at, and I quote, "unprecedentedly high levels compared to the past 800,000 years of historical data and pose risks to human health and welfare." Also, they say, "current and projected concentrations of 6 well-mixed greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, including CO2, threaten the public health and welfare of current and future generations." And they say scientific evidence shows that elevated CO2 concentrations have caused oceans' acidification and ocean warming and caused adverse effects to coral reefs and wildlife. They further concede that stabilizing atmospheric CO2 concentrations will need deep reductions in CO2 emissions. Finally, the defendants, that's the Obama administration, admitted that the United States has supported fossil fuel development through overseas public financing, primarily through the Export-Import Bank of the United States, which provided $14.8 billion for 78 transactions or projects in the petroleum sector, including 6 in Russia FSU. The Export-Import Bank of the United States also supported numerous coal and gas power plants. Now, something that made me smile was the federal defendant's assertion that in some instances, the case understated the evidence against them. A press release from the website of Our Children's Trust states, for example, plaintiffs alleged the atmospheric CO2 concentration exceeded 400 ppm in 2013 for the first time in recorded history. But the federal defendants admitted it was for the first time in millions of years. In another example, the plaintiffs alleged that since 1993, sea levels have been rising at an average rate of 3.2 millimeters per year. The federal defendants rebutted that sea levels have actually been rising at a rate of 3.4 millimeters per year. In yet another example, youth alleged that fossil fuel production in the United States was 65.244 quadrillion BTUs in 2014. But federal defendants insist that that year's production was 69.653 quadrillion BTUs. Well done, 20 enterprising kids in the United States. No doubt the new Trump administration will do its damnedest to shut them down. But it will be interesting to see how their case pans out and what difference it makes to the preservation of the environment in the states. What difference, though, a mindset makes? Compare Thich Nhat Hanh's deep understanding and appreciation of interdependence between us, the Earth, and its precious resources with the corporate minds that only see the environment in terms of financial gain. Unless we have a deep empathy with our environment, we will exploit it for short-term gains, but long-term suffering, both for the environment and all the beings in it, including ourselves. And that's why Nam Ka Pel recommends we take on the sufferings of the environment in our practice of Tonglen. We really do need to see and act on our interdependence. Listen to Thich Nhat Hanh again through his poem, Earth Touching. Here is the foot of a tree. Here is an empty, quiet place. Here is a cushion. Brother, why don't you sit down? Sit upright, sit with solidity, sit in peace. Don't let your thoughts lift you up into the air. Sit so that you can really touch the earth and be one with her. You may like to smile, brother. Earth will transform to you her solidity, her peace, her joy. With your mindful breathing, with your peaceful smile, you sustain the mudra of earth touching. There were times when you didn't do well, sitting on the earth, but it was as if you were floating in the air. You who used to go in circles in the triple world and be drawn into the ocean of illusion. But earth is always patient and one-hearted. Earth is still waiting for you, because earth has been waiting for you during the last trillion lives. That is why she can wait for you for any other length of time. She knows that finally you will come back to her one day. She will welcome you, always fresh and green, exactly like the first time. Because love never says, this is the last. Because Earth is a loving mother. She will never stop waiting for you. Do go back to her, brother. You'll be like that tree. The leaves, the branches, and the flowers of your soul will be fresh and green once you enter the mudra of earth touching. The empty path welcomes you, sister, fragrant with grass and little flowers. The path paved with paddy fields still bearing the marks of your childhood and the fragrance of mother's hand. Walk leisurely, peacefully. Your feet should deeply touch the earth. Don't let your thoughts lift you up into the air, sister. Go back to the path every moment. The path is your dearest friend. She will transmit it to you, her solidity, her peace. With your deep breathing, you sustain the mudra of earth touching. Walk as if you were kissing the earth with your feet, as if you were massaging the earth. The marks left by your feet will be like the marks of an emperor's seal, calling for now to go back to here, so that life will be present, so that the blood will bring the color of love to your face, so that the wonders of life will be manifested and all the afflictions will be transformed into peace and joy. There were times when you did not succeed, sister, walking on the empty path, but you were floating in the air because you used to get lost in samsara and drawn into the world of illusion. But the beautiful path is always patient. It is always waiting for you to come back. That path that is so familiar to you. That path that is so faithful. It knows deeply that you will come back one day. It will be joyful to welcome you back. It will be as fresh and as beautiful as the first time. Love never says, this is the last. That path is you, sister. That is why it will never be tired of waiting. whether it is covered with red dust or with autumn leaves or icy snow, do go back to the path, sister, because I know you will be like that tree. The leaves, the trunk, the branches, and the blossoms of your soul will be fresh and beautiful once you enter the mudra of earth touching. And now the final word today I'm going to give to Professor John Epstein, research professor at the Institute for World Religions in Berkeley, California, who wrote an article in the magazine Vajrabodhi Sea entitled Environmental Issues, A Buddhist Perspective. He writes, "All life is interrelated and interdependent. Nature, or we could say our natural environment, is alive and at least partly conscious. It is neither sacred and perfect, nor evil and to be conquered. The deep reality of nature is not separate from our fully enlightened nature." That's Buddha nature. Buddhists understand nature as a useful and conventional designation without any unique intrinsic reality of its own that absolutely distinguishes it from what is not nature. In a less technical sense, it is the conditioned world prior to extreme human distortion of the patterns of interrelationship between humans and the rest of the living beings on the planet. It can also be understood as the living web that interconnects individual beings, both sentient and non-sentient, in interdependence. What is ultimately real about that web is its Buddha nature, its Buddha-ness. That deep reality of nature is not separate from our own fully enlightened nature. When we purify our minds, we experience the true nature of nature, and then we see that we are actually living in a pure land, or Buddha land. That Buddha land is not somewhere else, but right here. The 6th Chan Buddhist patriarch, the Venerable Hui Neng, quoted the Buddha as saying, "As the mind is purified, the Buddha land is purified." From the Buddhist viewpoint, humans are not in a category that is distinct and separate from other sentient beings, nor are they intrinsically superior. All sentient beings are considered to have the Buddha nature, that is, the potential to become fully enlightened. Buddhists do not believe in treating of non-human sentient beings as objects for human consumption. Enlightened beings do not harm sentient life. If they did, they would not be enlightened beings. They have compassion for unenlightened beings who are attached to our polluted world, filled with pain and suffering, and who do not experience themselves as living in a pure Buddha land. By looking inward, within our own body-mind, one gradually realizes that there is no ultimate division between inside and outside, that the patterns of the natural environment are not separate from the patterns of our own body-minds. Experience of those patterns is not considered an ultimate truth or the goal of Buddhist practice, but awareness of them is an important aspect of the path that leads to enlightenment. Nature, as wilderness, is important to Buddhists because it provides a place where rapid progress in Buddhist practice or self-cultivation can be made. Nature grounds us and can soothe us. Unspoiled natural locations, usually places in the wilderness where the natural energies are peaceful, are the ideal places for Buddhist practice. Here is what some traditional Buddhist sources tell us about the benefits of the natural environment as a place for Buddhist practice. The 8th of 12 or 13 ascetic practices recommended by the Buddha is dwelling in the forest. The Buddha said, "I am pleased with that bhikkhu's dwelling in the forest." And when he lives in a remote abode, his mind is not distracted by unsuitable visible objects and so on. He is free from anxiety. He abandons attachment to life. He enjoys the taste of the bliss of seclusion. Ajahn Mun, who lived from 1870 to 1949, a great modern Thai Buddhist master from the forest meditation tradition, had this to say about staying in the wilds. "The more desolate and distant the place is from human habitation, with wild beasts roaming freely about, the more prepared is the mind to soar up from the abyss of defilements, being at all times like a bird about to fly. The defilements are still there in the depths of the mind, but in such an environment, the power of the mind is greatly developed and appears to have gotten rid of hundreds of defilements, with only few remaining. This is the influence of environment, which gives encouragement to an aspirant at all times. I hope you're often able to go and practice in such an environment. But now, this is where we're going to have to leave the program today, as time is up. Thank you very much for joining me, and please tune in again next week. Also, please dedicate any positive potential we've accumulated today to gaining enlightenment for the sake of all beings, everywhere. Thank you, and goodbye.